You turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 29 will be our text scripture for today. For the past few weeks, we've been leaning into our new series entitled Pursue. Everybody say Pursue. And we got our cards, and on the inside of the card, it says, this year, I am pursuing. And for me, I'm pursuing wisdom and direction. There's a new call that we are going to pursuing. And we have a reality statement. That reality statement simply says this. What you pursue determines who you become. Say that with me. What you pursue determines who you become. So in other words, what has your eyes, what has your attentions, what has your resources, what you are directing, everything that you have towards is who you will become. That's positively and negatively. And Pastor Hayden last week, as he unpacked part two of his pursuing the mission last week, he gave us a profound analogy about a gift that he was given. Now, I don't have the shoes that he had, but there were some special shoes that he really desired. He was going to save some money to get it, and he just forgot about doing it. He didn't do it, but his loving wife decided to gift him those shoes for Valentine's Day. Now, he says to us that I saw them. I believed that they were mine, but then he had to take another step. He had to what? Receive them. And after he received them, he began to walk in those shoes. See, this is the thing about God. God is going to show you a lot of things in your life, and you have to make the choice. I can see it. I can even believe it. But I have to receive it as well. And many of us have not received the gifts that God wants to give us. We believe it, but we have not received it. Now, think about this right here. What if Michael Jordan came in this room right now, Mark. He came in this room. He says, hey, young man, I'm going to give you my first pair of shoes that I wore in the very first game, and he signs an autograph on them. Would you take them? Of course you take them. Now, this is the thing about it. You see them, you believe it, but then you leave those shoes right there, and you go off. And you get to your boy's house. Yo, Michael Jordan just gave me these J's, bro. He just gave me. It's like, where are at, bro? Oh, I left them at the auditorium. I didn't bring them with me, but they still mine. Would you believe him? That sounds crazy, right? He was like, oh, man, you lying. No. And that's what happens with many of us. God has presented a beautiful gift to us, and we see it, and we even might believe it, but then we don't receive it. The Bible tells us this in James chapter 2, verse 19. You believe that God is one. You do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Even the demons believe and shudder, as he alluded to last week. What makes you different than a demon? Demons believe. What makes the difference for us is that we believe and receive. God, I believe that you died for me. God, I believe that you rose again. God, I believe it, and I receive that gift of salvation. I receive everything that you have for me, and not just receive it. I'm going to now walk in this. See, shoes are made to be worn. I know there's some people who have some fancy shoes and they got them on some shelf, but shoes are made to be worn. I'm looking around in here. Everybody got their shoes on? Anybody got some shoes on? Shoes are made to be worn. And this is the great thing about, there is joy in seeing. There is joy in believing. There's even greater joy in receiving, but then there's even greater joy in walking in what I have received. So the Bible directs our lives and our hearts to Colossians 2:6. It says, therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. He has given you a beautiful gift so that you can walk in with him. He didn't give you the gift of salvation. He didn't give you the gift of joy. He didn't give you the gift of his life for you just to put it on the shelf. But for many, they have not followed in those steps of receiving. The book of Matthew 28:18 says this. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of who? All nations. That's why we have culture night. All nations. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded. Teaching them to observe what? That I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the ages. The Bible tells us, Jesus tells us that, hey, if you're going to follow me, there's a little thing that you need to be doing. Yeah. If you're going to follow me, there's some things that you mean. And the first thing you need to be doing is that you need to be making disciples. Who's connected to you? Who are you really walking with? And the next part of that is now not just making disciples, but then baptizing and teaching. Baptizing and teaching. Now, what are we going to be teaching? He tells us, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded. Who is I? Him, Jesus. All that I have commanded. Let me ask you this real quickly. It's just for the people who don't mind being truthful. How many times are we using the all? God, I'll follow this, but I can't follow that. God, I'll serve you in this area, but nah, God, if you're looking at it, God, that's me. That's just me. I need to hold on to that. All this, I'm gonna give you a Greek lesson right now. You ready? I'm gonna give you a Greek lesson. All in Greek means all. All of y'all are Greek scholars now. You see that? You just learned some Greek. All. Teaching them to observe all that he has commanded. So if that's the case, as we jump into our text for today, I would like to use for a subject to teach you today, to preach a little bit today, if you don't mind. Pursuing the Lord's table. Everybody say that with me. Pursuing the Lord's table. Turn with me again to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, and it reads like this. For I have received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Verse 25. And in the same way, he also said, I'm sorry, let me jump back to 24. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is in my body. There you go. This cup is the new covenant. There we go. In my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of who? Me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. All y'all missed that right there. Let me try that one more time. You proclaim the Lord's death until he what? God is coming back. Somebody should have been excited about that. That the God that we're serving, the God that we're rendering our hearts to, the God that we're pursuing and focused, he is coming back. And he's not just coming back for anybody. He's coming back for his church. I should be excited about that. I should be thankful for that. Because this is not my final destination. This is not my final. I want to tell you something. If you are a follower of Christ, this is the worst that it's going to be for you. But if you are a non-believer, this is the best that it's going to be for you. God has something more for us in the kingdom. He's coming back for his church. Until he comes. We get to proclaim that. Whoever, therefore, eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself. Then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment upon himself. Now, if we're going to pursue the Lord's table, we need to understand what pursuing means. There are three things that go along with pursuing. You have to know this. What you're pursuing. Why you're pursuing it. And I love this last one. If you can or should pursue it. Let me give you an example of that. I don't think I should pursue the NBA. I'm too short. I'm too slow, I talk too much trash, and I fight and bite. I don't think those are characteristics of an NBA player, do you? So there are certain things that I shouldn't be pursuing. But in our life, we begin to pursue some things that God has never designed us to be pursuing because we're not focused on the right things. There are some things that God wants us to pursue. There are some great things that God wants us to pursue. But we get distracted by our own mind sometimes. We get distracted by what somebody else says we need to be doing. We get distracted by what somebody else is doing. We begin to pursue some things that God never intended for us to be pursuing. And so today I want to talk to you about pursuing the Lord's table. I want to give you your W-3s today. Now y'all looking at me like I'm crazy now. I know some of y'all who are working, you get W-2s each, you know, every year. But today Pastor Marvin is going to give you some W-3s. Somebody said W-3s. 1 Corinthians, come on, let me dive back into this text here. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way also, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it and remembering me. At first W that I want to give you today, we need to know what the Lord's Supper is. What is the Lord's Supper? Verse 23 gives us a glimpse of what that is. For I have received from the Lord what I also deliver to you. The author in this text right here tells us that, hey, I am going to show you what pursuing the table is all about. I'm going to give you a definition of what it is. And what it is, it's a commandment that God has given to us. Christ, in his own words, says, hey, I want you to do this. Do this in remembrance of who? Of me. He is telling us, he has given us direction. What is the table about? The table is about following the commandment that God gave. Again, back in Matthew chapter 28, it says, teach them to observe all that I have commanded. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. I need you to understand this. You can't just take some of the things that God gives you. You got to take all. Y'all missed that. Come on. Y'all don't want to help a preacher preach today. Hey, I know you say, okay, God, I'll take the benefits. God, if you're going to bless my family, if you're going to bless my kids, if you're going to give me this job, I'll take all that. But God, I don't want no turmoil. I don't want no situations. There are more scriptures in the Bible about you suffering than anything else. We want all the benefits, but we don't really want everything that God is saying. He says, teach them to observe all that I have commanded. So if this is a command, what is the table? It's a beautiful command to sup with him, to commune with the Savior. What is the table? The table is a symbol of Christ's commitment to us. What is the table? It's an act of communing with Christ and his people. What is the Lord's table? It's a new covenant from Christ. What is the Lord's table? It's an amazing gift that he has given us to be in right relationship with him. What is the Lord's table? It's a vivid reminder of his great sacrifice, that he shed his blood for you and I. What is the Lord's table? It allows us to look back and to look forward. You say, Pastor, what you mean look back? We look back at what we call the Passover. See, the Passover was a huge celebration for the Jewish family, the Jewish community, the body of Christ at that time. And what they were celebrating how God had delivered them out of Egypt, because there was a plague that was happening. And inside of that plague was about death. And God says, hey, you know what? I want to protect my people. I want to cover my people. So this is what you got to do. I want you to take a lamb. I want you to sacrifice it. And after you sacrifice it, I want you to take the blood and rub it across the doorpost right there. So when the death angel comes by, he passes over your house. Not only do I want you to put that blood on it so you can pass over, but I want you to take that lamb. I want you to roast it a certain way and use a certain amount of herbs. And then a long time, I want you to eat it, but then I want you to do this. I want you to put your sandals on. Get ready. Say, well, why would I put my sandals on if I'm eating? Because I'm getting ready to take you somewhere. See, this is the thing about when we get to come to the table, God prepares us and he does something inside of us. And he does something inside of us when we come to the table so that he can send us back out. I come to the table as a follower of Christ because I'm broken, because there's a need, because I'm rejoicing in what you've done. I'm celebrating you. But as I get to the table and I remember what you've done for me, God just sending me back out, prepared a little bit more than what I was when I came in here today. What is the Lord's table? It's a beautiful gift in the command that he has given us. And not only do we look at the Passover, but then we look forward as the scripture told us, he's going to return. He's coming back for us. And him dying on the cross now, guess what? Him dying on the cross now saves you. They used the blood of a lamb to cover them. We got the blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. We got the greatest gift of all that covers us, that keeps us from the penalty of sin and death. And not only do we have that, we look forward because he's coming back. I don't know if you understand that or not. He's coming back. I don't care what they say on television. I don't care what they say about how crazy things are right now. I don't care what they're saying about this person being elected or that person being elected. I'm looking for the elected King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to him return. That's who I'm looking for. And so I get to prepare my heart and my mind because I get to go to the table. Come on, let's continue reading verse 24. I'm getting too excited. I get too excited when I get to talk about the Lord. Verse 24, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Do this in remembrance of who? Me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. That second W-2 that I want to give you today, we need to know why we partake of the Lord's Supper. Why do we partake of the Lord's Supper? I'm glad you asked. We partake of the Lord's Supper to remember Christ. Let me say that again. We partake of the table to remember Christ and what he did for you and I. Let me tell you something right now. Pastor Marvin loves all y'all. Look me in my eyes for communication's sake. I love all y'all, but I'm not sacrificing nary one of my kids for any of y'all. I love you. 2 o'clock in the morning, you call Pastor Marvin. 5 o'clock in the afternoon, hey, you need a couple dollars. You need to be pray with you. You need to go down to the jail cell and go to the judge. You need to be, whatever you need me to do, I'm there for you. But I want to tell you, if you say, Pastor Marvin, the Lord told me that you're going to sacrifice your son for me, I'm going to say, that's a devil. That's a lie. I'm not giving you my children. But God gave his only son for you. He gave up everything for you. And so when we come to the table, we realize with the sacrifice that Jesus made for us, when we come to the table, we realize that he has given everything for us and we get to come to him. That's why we go to the table, because we remember what Christ has done for us. We get to go to the table in verse 26, it tells us, to proclaim the Lord's death and his return. I'm thankful that he died for me. I'm thankful that he rose for me, but I'm also thankful that he's coming back for me. We as believers get to proclaim that. Now, who are we proclaiming that to? We're proclaiming that to one another. Because understand this, a person that doesn't know the Lord, a person that doesn't follow the Lord, this is foolishness to them. But you who understand who God is, you who have submitted your life to the Lord, you who have given everything that you have unto the Lord and say, God, would you be my Lord and my Savior? You understand sometimes you need a little bit of encouragement. So when we pick this up and we gather together, we encourage one another. We proclaim to one another, hey, you're not in this by yourself. I'm with you. You're not going to be here alone, because our God is going to return at some time for us. We proclaim his death and his return. Let me ask you this. What are you proclaiming today? What are you proclaiming today? We go to the table because we're reminded of the freedom that it gives. Freedom from the penalty of sin. Freedom from the power of sin. Freedom from the presence of sin. We are reminded that he is our high priest and he is in heaven sitting beside the Father and ever interceding on my behalf. Every time I go to that table, I'm reminded that I'm not in this thing by myself. we proclaim who he is. Now, I got two pair of shoes up here. Two pair of shoes up here. Now, both of these shoes were given by the same person. Let me say that again. Both pair of shoes was given by the same person. But the response is two totally different situations. I see it. I believe it's mine. I receive it, Mark. And not only do I receive it, I seen your eyes change just then, Mark. It's like, no, I don't want those. I don't want those. I don't want those. I don't want those. I begin to walk in Christ. I begin to walk this thing out. Now, these shoes are a little dirty. They're a little ratty. They're a little run over. They're a little beat up. But this is what happens. When I understand that life is going to beat me up, when I understand that there's going to be some trials and tribulations, I'm going to get a little beat up, but I can still walk towards the table because it will remind me that God can forgive me. It will remind me that God still loves me. It will remind me that I'm not here by myself, no matter how bad I look, no matter how bad it looks. These things are all beat all up. They've been in all kinds of wars and all kinds, walked through all kinds of situations and circumstances, but they continue to walk towards the table. Why? Because I understand that there's grace and forgiveness and love and peace at that table. But that's one pair of shoes. Remember, they've been given to this, the same person gave us both shoes. But now look at these here. Ooh, I see you looking at these right here, Mark. These are nice right here. These are nice and shiny, pretty white. They ain't got nothing on the bottom of them. They nice and clean. And this is where we've been walking at. We see the gift that God has given us. We say, oh, I believe it. But now, God, let me just put you on the shelf. I ain't going to walk this out. No. I'm just going to leave these right here. I can do this on my own, God. I don't need you. I don't need the table. No. I'm going to just do this on my own. How many of you are walking in life by yourself and your shoes are so clean because you can't allow God to do anything in your life so you just can put them on the side? God, you stay over here. But I'm going to continue to walk. I don't care how dirty I get. I don't care how broken down I get. I don't care how the situation look like. I'm going to continue to walk to that table because that table provides grace for me. That table provides provision for me. I need you to understand this. I need you to understand this. I got a reality statement for you. I'm going to give you this right here. You don't always need a miracle. Sometimes you just need a memory. Let me say that one more time. You don't always need a miracle. Many of you are, God, can you bless my finances? God, can you bless my marriage? God, can you, I need a miracle in my children. I need a miracle on my job. God, can you do this? No, you know what he was saying? He said, put them shoes on and begin to walk and remember what I've done for you before. Remember that if I did it before, I'll do it again. God is saying, you just need a memory. This is the thing I love about this right here as well. As dirty as these are, as beat up as these are, as trashed as these are right here, when I walk towards the table, because I'm a follower of Christ, when I walk towards the table, this is what I see, but this is what God sees. I'm doing life every day with God. I'm going through some things, but he's with me, and this is how he sees me. I see myself as all messed up and all beat up, but I'm still coming to you, God. The table reminds me that when I can come to God, he sees me as justified, just as if I've never. I don't know where you are today, but I want to tell you, you're going to either be these shoes when you sit up on the rack, or you're going to be these shoes and walk it out. You have but two kind of shoes. You're going to be walking, whether I'm walking with the Lord or without him. Let me get in this text and enough for my final one. My final one. I got to get to this. My time is running out on me here. I got my final one. My final W of the W3s. Everybody say W3. My final one is, who can partake of the table? We know what the table is. We know why we partake, but who can partake of the table? Watch this. Verse 27, whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself. Who self? Who self? I seen y'all looking at me. I seen some of y'all drop y'all glasses at Pastor Marvin just like that right there. I'm looking at him. Why he sound like Kermit the Frog today? Just know this, we have been in ministry all week long. I want you to know something. Our pastor is an incredible kingdom collaborator. He's mindful that the kingdom is not just walk church, it's the body of Christ. And so we've been in connection with a few ministries here in the city, just doing like with them, and they've been in conference all week, and so we've been a part of that, me and Pastor Hyden. It's just been such a blessing, and First Lady Nina as well, and my wife. And so we've just been grateful. So that's why I sound like that. That's why I sound like Patrick Mahomes making a phone, making a call right now. 48 blue, 48 blue. But as we see this text here, the author, Paul, is saying, hey, there was a situation happening in the Corinthian church at the time that during the Passover, all of the wealthy people were coming early and getting all the good food, getting all the good drink. They were eating up all the fried chicken, all the candied yams, all the collard greens, all the butter beans. They were eating up all the good. They were eating all the pineapple upside down cake, the chocolate cake, the cheesecake. They were eating up all the good stuff. Drank all the good wine and then left the scraps for the poor. And Paul says, wait a minute here. You have lost the focus of what this is all about. This is not about you eating just because you want to eat. This is about remembering what God did for us. And today is the same thing as Paul's words are echoing right now to you. When we come to the table, we have to remember what the table is about. The table is not about just us doing anything. You got to have a heart check. It says examine yourself. Everybody in this building today is not a follower of Christ. They don't believe in this. So why would I partake in something that I don't believe in? But you who love God, you who have surrendered your life to the Lord, you who have given your life to the Lord, the table is for you. Who is the table for? The table is for those who have surrendered their life to the Lord. Who is the table for? The table is for those who have been marked by the blood of God. Who is the table for? The table is for those who have been struggling, who have been fighting, but I'm still walking. God, I don't have it all together, but I'm still coming to you. God, I'm not perfect, but I'm still coming to you. God, I'm jacked up. I'm jacked up from the flow up, but I'm still coming to you. Who is the table for? The table is for those who believed and received. You know, the great thing about these shoes is that these shoes can be replaced at any time, but your soul cannot. God has gifted us a gift, and the table reminds us of that gift. So today, if you don't know the Lord, instead of you being concerned about the bread and this juice, you should be concerned about the nails and the cross. The nails and the cross are what gives you salvation. The nails and the cross is what gives you the freedom, the peace, the ticket, the way to the Father. It's through his Son. That has to be the first step. And if you have taken that first step, man, we're so excited. But if you have not, we want to give you that opportunity today. Because we want you to be able to gather just like all the brothers and sisters that are in the building today as we go to this table. And the Bible says, examine your heart. There may be some things in your heart you got to ought against one of your brothers or your sisters. Before you partake of this, go to them. Talk to them. God, help me. You may need to bring somebody to the altar that you're upset with and angry with and you're frustrated with. Just bring it to the altar. God, help my heart. Because the table is a heart check. Where's my heart today, God? if you messed up, if you jacked up like Pastor Marvin, the table is for you. If you're in need, the table is for you. Because we remember what Christ has done. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you do not know the Lord, you say, Pastor Marvin, I can't come to the table after I've heard the definition, after I've seen what it's like. I can't come to the table because I don't know him. If that's you in this room today and you want to know him, you feel the Holy Spirit just pressing upon your heart, I would that you would just slip your hands up all over the building. 1, 2, 3, just slip your hands up. I see you. I see you. Hallelujah. I see you. Would you repeat this prayer after me? Now, this prayer ain't nothing magical, but if you say this prayer from the bottom of your heart with all that you have in you, with the true desire, God will change you. Father, I'm a sinner. I'm broken, and I need you. Would you come into my heart and be Lord and Savior of my life? I don't understand everything, but I desire you today. Help me follow you. Help me pursue you. In Jesus' name.